Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today on Awesome Animals, it's all about the importance of bats. And you know, I always tell stories as my shows go on, but I'm going to start with a story today because I live in this beautiful old home and obviously some monstrous old trees. There used to be a tree 150 years old next to my home, except that it came down, sawed my house in half, literally, and we had to rebuild. It took about a year, year and a half to get the house rebuilt. But in that tree, there were three little brown bats. And I'm going to come back to those little brown bats in a little while. There are many species of bats throughout the world. Today, we're going to concentrate on three of them. The little brown bat, obviously personal friends of mine. The large brown bat, sound familiar? And the Indiana bat. Well, they fall into three categories. Bats can either be insectivorous, makes sense, eating insects, fruit-eating, or vampire bats. Yes, I said vampire bats, and there's a few species throughout the world, and I hear they only come out during Halloween. You know, I would do a like Count Dracula impersonation, but I don't want to ruin the show. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Bats are so unique, sometimes mysterious, and definitely misunderstood. So first, let's start with the rapid decline of bat populations due to a fungus called white nose fungus. It's actually really white nose syndrome is a real term for it. It's a disease which has killed over 6 million bats. It affects hibernating colonies. It could kill the entire colony. And I'm going to talk to you later on about colonies and what they do and where they go, etc. Well, this fungus can grow on the nose, wings, and ears, and gives a white fuzzy appearance, hence that's why it gets a white nose fungus name. It invades the deep skin tissue and causes extensive damage. This fungus is usually spread bat to bat. So, you know, they live in caves, and I'm going to talk to you about a couple bat houses later on. Well, I'm going to tell you that near my home in the Northern Green State Forest, there's a few old mine shafts. Well, it's perfect bat habitat. So if any of you are heading into, or you happen to be, and if you happen to love caves and that's your hobby, you are a, answer is, you are a spelunker because you go spelunking. Well, if you're a spelunker, and I guess if there's many people, you'd be spelunkers. Well, if you're there, you need to know and make sure that you understand that you're probably walking into a colony of bats somewhere. Well, Batman, I guess there was Batwoman too. I have no idea. Batgirl, Bat this. There was Robin. I got that one. Their job was to fight crimes. Bats fight the insect population, and this is still good against evil. To help clarify the bats in your area, let's talk about the characteristics first of the little brown bat. Now think about when we say little brown bat. This is how small he is. He's 2.5 inches to 4 inches. So we're talking about when I say little brown bat, he is little. He weighs up to a half an ounce. His wingspan outstretched. So you think about this. He's only 4 inches. Outstretched is 11 inches. So, I mean, and most times they're not flying completely outstretched. So they look a little smaller. And this would make sense. The little brown bat is brown in color. Short, ears round, and we have in the Northeast, the largest population happens to be up in New Hampshire. They will hibernate in caves or mines for 4 to 6 months. I wouldn't mind a sleep. No, I'm not the sleep type of guy, but yeah, I guess they do. I've done research on grizzly bears, and hey, they spend like 6 months out there. So I guess bats, they're allowed to. Well, the diet of the little brown bat, insects. They must be insectivorous. And they have canines which allow them to hold onto their prey in flight. So they can grab an insect and the canines just grab them. And I'm going to talk to you later on, tell you a couple great stories about how scientists do research with bats and how we know so much about them. But I thought I'd share two stories with you. When I was doing my wolf research, and I guess we were done, so we were out in Ely, Minnesota. So we're sort of Ely, beautiful old country town. And we're out there, and midday, walking down, we'll say Main Street, walking down Main Street, on the side of the building is a little brown bat just all curled up, upside down, just hanging out. Guess what? And that's what we say, hanging out. He's hanging out. And whether there was 20 people or 50, I have no idea, passersby, most people didn't even understand, recognize that he was there, and he just hung out there all day long. And then we were at one of my soccer camps I used to own many years ago, and walking into the building, because, you know, kids would drop off their gear indoors, et cetera, their lunches. And so there was a foyer. So there was a set of doors, a little foyer, a set of doors as you'd walk into the building. Well, there was a little brown bat asleep in there. Well, one kid walking in saw him and swatted at him. Why? I don't know. And now the bat is flying in the foyer and going bonkers. And people can't go in. People can't go out. And I just said, all right, let me just walk inside. And as I'm opening the door, Coach Steve Poroznik comes walking in. Steve also happened to be a great tennis player. No joke. With his hat, he's just walking in, takes his hat off, and a backhand, and he backhands the bat, and he goes, shoom, shot him out the door, and the bat just flew around the building. Well, everyone, quite comical. I'm sure the bat didn't want the shot in the shorts, but I'm sure the bat was very happy to be free. And I walked around the building later on, and there was the bat on the side of the building, snoozing away. And so I guess he was a happy bat. So let's turn our attention now from the little brown bat to the large brown bat. This species is widespread because it can endure extreme conditions from deserts to forests. Hey, sounds like me. I love them all. They hibernate, obviously, in caves and mines. Also insectivorous. Their favorite food are beetles. No John, Paul, Ringo, George, I don't know. No, not them. And here's a cool fact. Female brown bats, they form a nursery in their colonies to rear their young. So again, cool things. Now, we jump over now to the Indiana bat. And right away you hear Indiana, people say, well, it must be found in it. Well, it is found throughout many states. Their hibernation requires stable temperatures. Under 50 degrees F, but above 32 degrees F. So then that limits where they would be found within our country. Well, why do all bats hibernate? No available food if you're insectivorous. That makes sense. Here's a cool fact. Bats must store fat before hibernating. So they get bat fat. How neat is that? Indiana bats' summer habitats are wooded areas. That makes sense. And these guys are also insectivorous. And as I mentioned, you could find them in many states. Find them. I guess I can't talk today. One, I locate food as a top predator, and I am that top predator out there. I stalk the genus and species Refrigeratus foetus. I simply open up the fridge. You know, I wish I could locate my food the same way insectivorous bats do. Now, watch how awesome this is. What they do is they find their food by echolocation. They send out waves, and they bounce back to the bat, and they create an image in their mind. So let me explain an experiment that scientists did that so it can put an image in your mind about echolocation. So scientists in a lab, all the lights are out. They had hung strings at different heights. They released an insect, and the bat was released, and the bat would send out echolocation, and he would just fly all over and never run into any one of the strings because he would be sending out an echolocation. It would see the string come back in his mind, and he'd go over it. And it's funny, you know, people always say, well, they look like drunken animals when they're flying. Well, no. You don't understand. What they're doing is they're sending out echolocation. It hits on an insect. And as soon as they're eating one insect, they're sending out echolocation. So you got a mouthful of food and sending out echolocation, and all of a sudden they dive in another direction. Well, what the scientists further did in that study then is they had white moths and then they got white marbles about the same size. And what they were doing is had a bat in the lab. They would let loose a moth with the strings there. The bat would zip around echolocation, zip, grab the moth. And at times they would have a moth and a white marble, throw the white marble up. The bat would be zipping, send out echolocation. It would recognize, remember, this goes back and puts an image in her mind, would recognize that that is not a moth and just turn away. And they kept doing it, and he would eat all the moths, and he did not touch any of the marbles. Now, I have a fire pit outside. One of my favorite things is to just sit outside, family, friends, food, and all of those go together. And we just hang out there. And again, I'm a wintertime guy. It could be snowing out, and I'd still would have, probably wait for the snow to stop, but I still would have an outside fire and have family and friends over and some of my homemade chicken soup out there. Well, in the warmer months when I'm just sitting there looking out, you know, nothing's going on, no one's around, and I will actually just sit there and watching the bats and zipping overhead, echolocation by my, and you say, well, why would you want these bats near your house? A little brown bat, so go back to his size, 2 to 4 inches. A little brown bat will eat up to 1 million mosquitoes a night. So would you rather have a bat or mosquitoes? Because as I said, there's a misconception going on about the bats. So now let's revert back to that tree that had come down. Well, I had 3 little brown bats in my tree, which means they were eating on my property and obviously neighboring properties. They were eating up to 3 million mosquitoes a night. So I would take those bats any day. People talk about being bats in the belfry. I have no idea what that means. It probably means something about being up by the bells in the church. Don't know. But you can build a bat house. There are plans, you know, that's going online. I actually built a bird house. I built bird houses too. But I built a bat house, had one of my friends, Chrissy, paint a Batman, the logo on it, except I take this because, again, I do a lot of public speaking, and when I'm in schools, matter of fact, if you ever want me in your schools, you could just tweet me at Joey B Outdoors. That's Joebe Outdoors. People always tweet me questions and things, but hey, I've been hired by many schools, and I bring the bat house with me because it is my job to educate our youth about all the awesome animals that are out there, and the bat is definitely one. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybe.tv. That's joeybe.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.